time to light the... Let's light the candelabra, Tim.
Oh, Lord. We could just do this.
Hokey, you didn't know about my new favorite movie in the world. That's why I said candelabra, and I highly recommend it to you guys. It's Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace movie.
Wow, I figured you'd be sitting on the candle.
Yeah. Well, there is some of that.
How many times have you watched it, John?
All the way through, or just had it on while doing other things?
But how many times have you actually had it on and paid a little bit of attention to it?
Oh, every time. It's probably like 8.
Is that the one where Michael Douglas?
Yeah. Michael Douglas and Matt Damon. It's really good. It's so disturbing in so many ways, but it's really. I keep trying to get Tim to watch it, and it's like.
I'm gonna have to be in the right mood.
What are you, the right mood? I don't know why for a movie about trucking in the 70s, why I started out with Liberace talk. I don't understand.
You wanted to balance the pendulum the other way.
That's right, the macho-ness and the not-so-macho-ness. Was that a trucker horn?
No, that's a trucker. But,
I imagine you could.
I might use that instead of the wah-wah-wahs.
Yeah, so for the bad jokes, instead of the wah-wah-wah, we're going to get the trucker horn.
Trucker horn. Well, you know, instead of lighting the candle, we can also do this. I think it's going to be a second here. Start this up.
Here's the candle.
There it goes. Just get in gear here.
Don't try that on the podcast. Wow.
There we start it up.
And there.
That didn't sound like an explosion.
Well, that's a good try.
Oh, it's got a little backfire.
It's a blue and white. Whatever the hell that was.
Come back at me. Breaking down, break.
Come back,
I should
punch a 20.
Hey, but I wrote down, like, this trucker stuff is really complicated. Like, I did, like, an internet search on, like, the 1020s, and there's a lot of codes. Those guys have a lot more on the ball than I thought, besides just lot lizards and chicken fried steak and trucker speed.
Well, they're always kind of, you know, doing what they say can't be done, you know. They have long ways to go and a short time to get there.
Exactly. So I guess we should introduce the movie first.
Yes.
As what if this is the trucker? This is a made for TV movie as well. It was called. Why would get the title turned around? Is it Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie, or is it Sweetie Pie and Flatbed Annie?
You were right on the first one.
You had it right this time.
Okay. Which by the way. you guys weren't offended, were you, by the YouTube clown that I posted on the Facebook page?
What was that, like a homemade trailer?
No, that guy he's one of those kind of people who, I don't know if he thinks more of himself than but that he's got some viewers, but I posted the trailer because I found it, and then when you type in the search, there's this one-man review of the movie, and it's a guy who, I mean, he keeps saying, I mean, every other word is fuck, for one thing, and he's like, I don't know what the fuck is going on, and I was thinking of all the things that you could say that were wrong with this movie. Not knowing what's going on is not one of them.
Okay,
it's a pretty...
100 times.
It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple as far as, like, this plot, but he just gets more and more agitated. And it looks like he's got, like, you remember in The Waterboy when he had his pissy bed sheets hung up in the backyard? That's kind of what it looks like is behind him. It's like his piss sheets.
But
I suggest that you go to the Facebook page and watch this film.
Wow. Oh, I saw some of that guy. He had no neck.
Yeah, but what he lacked in neck, he made up for in chins.
Oh, man. Yeah, more chins than an Asian phone book.
Oh, wow. Hit the horn, Tim.
Oh, crap, I lost it. There it is.
Wow. You know.
Oh man, that, that horn's gonna encourage me.
not to be confused with tugboat's tugboat sound from WWF.
No, that's a whole different sound.
Oh, tugboat.
Oh, tugboat, like the wrestler, right? Yeah. I'm scattered.
Moving along. Enough wrestling talk.
Sorry. Oh, we got a short time to get there. Come on.
Deliver this load of a movie.
Yeah, I wasn't really comfortable hearing about women taking loads that much of a movie that was made for TV.
There's a lot of double entendres in this.
Well, her name is Flatbed Annie. I mean, come on.
What was some of the? Because I wrote my notes as I was watching it.
I gotta ask this before we get too far on the movie. Did everyone catch the super famous guest star in this?
Who's the super famous guest star? Oh yeah, at the end. From the Sunny Glasses, is that what you're talking about?
Who was that?
Did you say super famous guest star?
That guy was in it too, but there's another
Billy person. Carter.
Yeah, Billy Carter.
Yeah.
Which one was Billy Carter? Which guy did he play?
He was the sheriff. He's one of the cops at the very beginning, who's taught when the guy explains the whole plot of the movie to her.
Yeah, because I wrote, this is what my note says. It says, cop even reads like shit. His reading sounds like just like his acting.
It's Billy Carter.
That was Billy Carter. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
If you listen to him, he sounds a lot like Jimmy Carter.
Well, and he was just, he tried to act, and then he actually read a report.
He actually played Tim, and if you go to his IMDb page, not only was the only movie he acted in was Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie, Lady Truckers, but he also played Jimmy Carter's inaugural gala.
I've never seen that film. I wonder if it's good.
It sounds fancy.
Oh, so you know what one revelation is? Okay, so first of all, like, this is my selection, and it was my selection because I wanted to pick a Harry Dean Stanton film, not an easy one. And then when I saw that Fred Willard was in it, I was like, oh, I'm sold on it. But Fred Willard wasn't in it. And this is my revelation about Fred Willard. When he's not playing a smarky asshole like that he does nowadays for every role, he's not a very good actor.
Well, I've heard stories, actually. I listened to Penn Jillette's Penn Sunday School podcast. And and he knows Fred Willard. And he knew Fred Willard, like, before he became, like, Fred Willard. But he was, like, I guess Fred Willard is, like, this, he was, like, an improv guy and, like, a comedian guy. And then all of a sudden he just, like, got into what is we know as Fred Willard now. And, like, he just stuck with it. And he's stuck with it, like, forever. Like, that was his shtick, is that he's going to be, like, Fred Willard. When I saw him in this movie to open it up, I was like, that's not Fred Willard, because he wasn't playing like Fred Willard.
Fred Willard, yeah.
Yeah,
well, he looked really young, too. And so basically, he's when he's trucking, like, at the start, which I was laughing, because, like, the start of it is him, like, tired in his truck, and he keeps looking at the picture of his wife, and he's getting sleepy, so... and then she's home waiting for him. And what I like about it was their 3-year anniversary, and she had generic chips and generic beer, and she couldn't wait for him to get home. So I was like, is that the 3-year anniversary in the trucking world? You know, I was like, there's like paper, coal. 3 years is popcorn or chips and beer.
I'm pretty sure it's chips and beer. It should have been Billy Beer.
That would have been, you know, my dad has a can of Billy Beer still to this day.
What is Billy Beer?
Oh, it's Billy Carter got it. They made some beer and named it after him, didn't they?
Yeah, and I don't remember if it was a Coors or Bud, but it was kind of the whole idea. Because he just became like a real popular figure, you know. Which and so then they decided that, and I, you know, basically he was a raving alcoholic, if I remember.
Well, correctly. I mean, he's a country musician, so.
There was was that whole thing with Billy Carter that when Jimmy Carter was running for president, they dug up some dirt on Billy Carter not paying back a loan, and that was the big dirt they had on Jimmy Carter. His brother wasn't paying a loan. I was like, that was your big get?
But back then, that was a big deal. You know, like, because people, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking through the past in rose-colored glasses, but you know, there was more of that integrity and people, like, but now they would be, he wouldn't be that big of a deal. They're like, oh, he drinks a lot of beer and he didn't pay back a loan. Well, yeah, that's every American.
I heard he snuck into the movies once. Watch out.
You know, you guys are probably good. I would say that if you guys ran for political office, I think that you guys would be fine. I don't think there's anything. Coffin Stadium. Never mind. I strike that from the record. Tim, you're gonna have to be a representative into politics.
Oh, I don't know that people dug
around. No, I think we share in a large portion of the population where we reach this one moment in our life where right before, you know, we do something, we have this moment of clarity, and we tell ourselves in our head explicitly, well, can't run for office now. Because I've had those moments. I've had moments, plural. If anybody finds out what I'm doing now,
I've been in a jail cell without my belt or my shoelaces.
You've been in a jail cell?
I have.
For what?
Running, trucking and stuff?
Did you shoot at Fred Willard's camp?
Selling some horse tranquilizers to some truckers?
No, did a little swimming.
Oh.
Swimming? Was it naked swimming?
With the governor's wife?
Yeah. Were you night putting?
It's a story better. But no, I just was swimming in a place where I was jumping off of rocks and things we're not supposed to, and the residents around the place decided that it was time to call the police, and so the police arrested me, and I happened to be 18, so they took me to jail.
I did not know this.
And while they were there, a Kansas City Star reporter was there, and they ran a feature story in the Johnson County section a few weeks later with my picture.
That's awesome. Well, can't run for office. Well, that's not true. There's plenty of politicians that have been tossed into jail.
Yeah.
Marion Barry alone absolves all our sins.
Getting put in county, though. Because my dad thought it might be good to keep me in jail overnight, but they said we don't keep him in the city jail. We take him to county.
Put the key pot.
So then I begged my sister to come pick me up, and so it was my niece was about 6 months old, so her first memory was me picking me up from jail.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy. I never would have guessed that, because I always, the model of, like good behavior and doing the right thing,
I fell into some water, so it's not like I was, you know, as I was doing it, I was peddling drugs to kindergartners, but...
No, they're called candy and cookies and everything sweet.
I have the article somewhere, but I just remember the first line of it. It says, wearing a Simpsons t-shirt and a sheepish expression. Uh-huh. Tim Kennedy.
Do you have the article?
Yes, of course. I have to dig it out, but I've got it.
Oh, man, I need a copy of that.
I'll get you one.
I want to sell like sheepish expression.
I'll add to your care package.
So would that be your CD handle? Would be sheepish expressions.
This is all sheepish. Hey, come on back.
Yeah. Hey, 10-4 sheepish expressions. This is Night Pet Putter coming through.
Yeah.
No, my treasure is sheepish express.
Billy.
You can't do it your own part.
And it's got a sheep.
Let's hear that. Let's hear the horn of the sheepish express.
It has got lamb chop painted on the side, which is kind of a sad look. Sheepish expression. 10-4 sheepish expression. You got your ears on.
This is a big man, woolly daddy. Come on back.
Sheep is expression. This is big logs.
not to be confused with the Pork Chop Express, which is, of course...
No, that's a little more confident. Sheepish expression is just, it stays the speed limit, and it often goes over in the shoulder to let people pass. It's very passive semi-truck.
This is Night Putter coming in. I can't seem to find my balls.
I think I've dropped a load. My load was carrying balls, and I dropped them all. I ain't got no balls in for.
So Fred Willard, I think, was driving the Sheepish Express.
No, I think that this is the thing. He looked so sleepy at one point. They kept showing the picture of his wife, and my demented mind, I was just like, well, of course he's getting tired when he's driving. He's jerking off. It's picture.
And it's no worse a time to be snipered and shot off the road than when you're rubbing one out to your wife on the dashboard.
I had a friend who almost crashed his car driving cross country because he said to stay awake, he would rub one off. And he said one time he really got into it, he like closed his eyes and relaxed, and he forgot what he was doing.
Did he close his eyes and smell colors or something?
I think he just kind of had that. And he just kind of.
There's no way you want to be found in that.
He made the mistake of getting confused with the pre bedtime relaxation technique.
Yeah. the get your washcloth or old sock, clean up and roll over, go to sleep. Wait a minute, I'm driving. Oh man. So yeah, so so Fred Willard gets shot, and okay, so here's the question, and they never really even answer it, but did he know that there were drugs in there?
I think Jackie was running coke for the drug lords.
Yeah, because at the end it's kind of implied that Jack said he didn't know how it got there.
Or they just won't go back to Mexico anymore. It's like, I think he knew it was in his seat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they did drugs back in the day, so...
My seat's got a look. I think I'm sitting on a pound of Columbia's finest.
Yeah. So what I don't, it didn't, when they finally did show the coke that was hidden in the truck, why the guys in the amazing van were, by the way, when I saw that van, I kind of thought, like, that's what I want my vehicle to be. I miss those kind of, like, A-team vans like that. But they had the black van, that was like, it's a badass van. No, but the thing, but the coke, it was like big packages. So it wasn't, I thought, well, maybe it was in the wheel wells or something, or I don't know how they didn't find it in like just packing their stuff and going through things. But anyways.
Well, so he gets injured and cut to the hospital, and his wife's there because she had just had the world's best anniversary party. And and it shows up and, yeah, apparently, like, the repo guy or, like, some guy shows up.
C.W. Douglas.
C.W. Douglas. Now, who plays C.W. Douglas, John?
Who plays
Harry Dean Stanton.
The Harry Dean Stanton.
But here, this is another problem I had with it is, so basically, Fred Willard and Sweetie Pie are basically just up to their eyeballs in debt,
yeah.
Right? So they basically said that their house, like they were behind on their house payments, they were behind in their car payment, and they're just behind. I mean, but for some reason, like she was really adamant about nobody's stealing my truck,
yeah.
Or nobody's taking my truck.
She kept and so, the drawers.
Yeah. And stamping things in the office and was pissy. And so what I don't understand, like, what it was about the truck. I mean, why wouldn't you just – they were 4 months behind. And so really, to me, like, they made Harry Dean stand out to be the villain, but really he was just doing his job.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, and he was totally doing his job.
because they were really kind of the shitty kind of irresponsible. I'm not saying that like that they're bad people, but I'm just saying. But like if you're that far behind and the guy comes and says, "Look, can you just ditch your truck?" Then that's, I mean, you kind of have your part in it. It's not like they're some great heroes. Like, you know, but she basically just was like, we're going to steal the truck and we're going to stay ahead of it and we're going to pay it off. And so, I don't know.
I question the logic of that working, too.
Okay, so listen to me.
No, I'm just like, okay, so your plan for paying off the truck is to steal it, run from the repo guy and try to do enough work to pay off the back part that you owe. Despite having no background in driving a truck.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I didn't. And then the fact too is like, you know, with the she, like the old man that was like the nice mechanic kind of guy. Then he says, "Oh, well, here's flatbed Annie. She'll help you." They make it sound like driving a truck is really easy. Like she can just pick it up, and you know, it's just like picking up mail or something. But it's like 18. How many gears do they have?
There's 16 forward gears.
Yeah, 16 forward gears. That's ridiculous.
That's just
And the other thing the little mechanic guy did that was real nice was near the beginning of the movie. He's talking to her and he pretty much is like, "Okay, here's the plot."
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna jump to that spot because it's perfect. He can basically tell you the whole movie.
And here's the movie. Funny, like at the end, he comes out like summarizes it. So here's what happened. Well, they would have helped that guy on YouTube.
Here's the little cut here. A little Harry Dean stand, too.
You have to check. Fine, then tell me where the truck is.
I'm going to fast forward a little bit.
$3,000 worth
of like that.
One way or another, stuff you don't want to have that truck.
Sing David Douglas.
Hell yeah. I like
car with the
What I liked about this is that it spilled into like this.
Not a chance. I think we're cutting back to it here. Menacing look by the goons. And off they go.
There goes the Shooters Express.
Where's Captain Exposition? He's coming. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right, she's going to go talk to
him. Wally?
Wally.
This man had a famous CW something, I can't remember his name, and it scared me right to death. I don't know who he is.
That's old C.W. Douglas.
C.W. Douglas.
Oh, ah. Wally would be giving us all nightmares for his suit. The dedicated man.
Dedicated to what exactly?
Repossessing trucks.
Repossessing.
That's his mission in life. Coast.
Here comes Billy.
He'd follow a man to the ends of the earth and jump up after him if he had to. And he's been repossessing trucks for 20 years, maybe more. That's right, ma'am.
There it is.
Are you serious, Wally?
I figure we got about the worst kind of trouble a trucker can have.
Well, if Jack loses that truck in here, Wally, that'll kill him. You know that.
Ginny.
Here we go.
If you could get that truck on the road, pick up loads. Stay together. You make enough money to get back on solid ground while Jack's in the hospital.
And there's the plot.
Did everybody get that?
Thank you. Thank you, dirty old man.
Oh, that's crazy.
Wait, here we go.
I don't even know how to drive a truck.
That's flatbed Annie. She's a feisty.
In case you didn't know it's her, it's written on the door of her truck.
Well, yeah.
Right, and it's on her satchel, too.
Of course.
I don't know.
I keep waiting for the Dane to tell me when to turn the page, because he's just narrating this thing. Like those old school, those old books.
So there you go. In case you wondered, anyone, that was the plot.
The
yeah.
End.
All right, good night, then. So basically, like Harry Dean Stanton is just really good at his job. He's not doing anything They're making it sound like he's stealing the trucks, but it's like he works for a company, they get behind in their payments, he takes the trucks. And by the way, he also has the sweetest ass moving mobile office that there's probably was ever.
I think it really put it over the top for me when he was putting cream in his coffee.
Yep.
He had a cow pour yep. while he was driving. I don't know where the percolator was, but oh my god, that thing was a beast.
For me, one of the absolute best scenes of any movie, and I'm totally biased because I'm such a fan of Harry Dean Stanton, but when his car got hit and he was being towed, and he's sitting in his mobile office that has a Rolodex and it has the pins and everything, and he's playing guitar and singing, and there's a thing of cookies on the dashboard. He's just sitting there. And he's playing guitar and singing, and I was like, man, that is just badass. But this is so funny that he has a Rolodex, he had a fridge riding shotgun, he had a phone and a typewriter.
And a TV for a while.
Yep. And his phone, it wasn't like one of those old mobile phones that's like a giant one. It was an actual, like, phone.
Like it was a rotary dial. I didn't even know they had that kind of technology back in the day.
I don't think they did, but if anyone would, it would be Harry Dean Stanton.
Well, that's the thing I liked about throughout the movie was the fact that they showcased a lot of his musical abilities, because he busts out a guitar or a harmonica, and literally, I mean, they just hammed it up. I mean, credit to the director to really focus on the true talent in this movie, and let him just ham it up for a couple seconds here and there. So he's just like sitting on the back of the car. We'll get to that scene in a second, but he's just blowing through his jaw harp, having a wee old good time. Yeah. I'm like, man, that's really cool. That's like, they're trying to make us hate him, but then all of a sudden he's like jamming on the guitar or blowing the harp, and it's just like, I can't hate this guy. I like this guy.
Well, he was standing on the scoop of a bulldozer playing harmonica, like waiting to set his road. I mean, it's just like, man, that's just badass. And he just has those cool buckskin coats, and and it's just kind of like, no, this I actually want him to kick. Because Flatbed Annie was just kind of a rude, dirty drunk.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like sheep to me. It's like I didn't really. And then the other one was just this ditzy, you know, come on, Annie. Like all the time.
She was like a hanger on.
I mean, that's like, you know.
Some of my notes are horrible.
You know, he does bleed cool, doesn't he? He's a very cool guy, isn't he?
When they got away from him at the beginning, the first time they get away from him, he like whips out his little Rolodex and he's like, truck stops in Central and Eastern California. And he's like, dude, and of course he finds the right one. It's like, I don't know quite how he did it, but I trust that he did.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's because he's that fucking cool. Well, if anyone else was playing that part, you'd be like, how did he find in a Rolodex which truck stop to call in Turlock or whatever? But it's like, no. With Harry Dean, you go, yeah, I can see that. He knows the shit.
Don't, like, personal 1980s Google.
Well, it's funny that you should say that the Rolodex is the 1980s Google, because I look at CB radios as, like, the first the version of internet chatting, and like, because when I was a kid, we had a CB radio, and we were trolls. We would listen to the truckers talk all the time.
Yeah.
But
we had one on vacation one year. My dad had a CB set, and he plugged it in. We were stuck in this traffic jam, and I think he was just going to listen to truckers. And there was like the one time he turned it on, and it was on, and you know, it was kind of dull or whatever, and then this trucker got stuck in the traffic jam, and he proceeded to throw out a rhyme, and I can't quite remember.
Was it Little Brother Trucker?
It wasn't Little Brother Trucker. No, he just was like, he's like just talking to other people, like when they would just blab where they're going when they're trying to get away from people. They're like, oh, I'm out in the desert. It's like, stop telling people where you're going if you're trying to get away. But this guy's like, oh, looks like we're not moving. He's like, I'm looking. It was some little rhyme, and it was a real honest to God trucker. He's like, I'm looking for ladies for just a bunch of flirts who get on their cars and lift up their skirts. And it was like, I immediately, you could almost hear the wind like crack as my mom reached over and turned it off.
Yeah, well, it's funny because my parents had the same. They stopped listening to it because I just remember my dad being like, he's like, my mom and dad like, oh, well, they're just so filthy. You know, like, you could use this for fun and talking. And they're like, they're just being gross. And I was, and even when I was a kid, sitting in the backseat, I'm like, well, they're trickers. Of course they're going to be gross. These aren't like a bunch of like Rotary Club members and you know, and upstanding members of society. They're a bunch of guys who are whacked out on drugs and eating chicken fried steak and not washing their underwear. They're not going to say gentlemen.
It turned off as like, oh.
It's like when your parents come downstairs in the basement and make you change the channel from HBO. Yeah. You're not supposed to watch that. And I'm like, okay, thanks for signaling me that. I'll not watch it when you go upstairs.
Yeah, I won't switch up or watch this scrambled movie. Get the horn.
The horn. I can't find the horn button, damn it.
What is going on with
this? Are you driving the Night Thunder, or?
The Sheepish Express doesn't have a good horn button.
Well, I'd ask why, but I know what book he'd give me back, so.
Well, Tim, maybe you're tired, which they say the trucker terminology for tired, if you give me a second, is, hang on, I'm going through cities right now. Well, there's one thing, it's Bend Over Billy, name given as an insult to another man implying that the person is a homosexual. Oh, are you, Tim, checking your eyelids for pinholes?
That's a 10-4 on the Sheepish Express.
The Sheepish Express? You're checking your eyelids for pinholes? That means you're tired.
None of you farmers get any ideas.
Now, Tim, are you looking for a commercial company? Which means possibly they hang out on the radio, usually around truck stops.
The one thing that kind of surprised me, I guess it shows you how much stuff's different. When they were in the bar and the goons caught up to him, and the way they got out of it was they implied that one goon was gay, and it started
cha cha cha.
Yeah, he wants to dance with you, you know, cha cha cha. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, that merits an entire.
Admittedly.
Well, no, that.
From all that back in the day, from what I've seen, it seems like everybody who goes into bars is just looking at getting an all-out ballroom fight anyway. So.
Yeah.
It's just like, good enough for me. My friends are coming over tonight.
He said
I wrote that in my notes.
Good enough.
I wrote that in my notes that it was just a matter of time before a fight breaks out. As soon as they went in the bar, I was like, this is just going to end. And I always like the movies, like Any Which Way But Loose and those kind of films, that when after they have these barroom fights, like maybe they'll show it later, and the guys who just beat each other up, they're all buying each other beers and patting each other in the back, and like, oh, that was it.
Sorry.
And it's like my old boss, Pat, who'd actually been in a few of those, and he said that it's kind of the way it is, that people do, like, afterwards, you're kind of like, hey, you remember what, that was funny, you jumped off the bar and I punched you in the face, here, have a beer. Like, I don't get that.
Remember when I slid your ass across the bar and hit your head on the cash register?
That was funny.
Hoo-wee! That's a hit!
Clint Eastwood had his red thing. You know what the Sheepish Express has?
I don't even want to know.
I go in the bar, in the middle of bar and fire, I just let loose a big sheep.
You take a sheep on the floor?
You take a sheep on the road?
It's cool. It's like, all right, Dave, let's get going. And you throw the sheep in there because his name's Dave.
And then when you get really lonely and tired, then you just put the sheep's back legs in your boots. My grandpa told me that story. Like, he said that in he was like in New Zealand, Australia, New Zealand, and he was talking about how he would always laugh when he saw guys that tucked their pants into their boots. Because my dad told me this story secondhand, but he said that they would take the sheep and they would put their back legs into their boots, and then they would push him by a cliff or some water, and then the sheep would just back up.
Yeah.
So I just took podcasting to a new low.
Well, I think we know why the Sheepish Express got its expression.
Yeah. His sheep man love him.
I had no choice. He put boots on me. I was near the water. I didn't want to get wet.
We know I don't like to get wet. Oh my God, the visuals I have of Tim in this truck with his sheep.
Shut up, Dave.
Dave, quiet. Well, I'm just saying the cat likes to get wet better than me.
I'm sorry, I got the giggles just laughing about the sheepish expression like on the written on the side of a truck and Tim driving it with a sheep riding shotgun and he's got a hat on the sheep. Here he comes.
Look out, here comes the sheepish express. You might not get it on
his pants are tucked in his boots. His pants are tucked in his boots and he's raising it all alone.
All alone. Thanks to his buddy Dave. He's going to haul that load super fast. He's going to deliver that load in record time. Thanks, Dave.
Oh, shit. Oh, boy. Okay. So the basic of the story is that so Flatbed Annie is going to help her drive and pick up. And they're going to try to pay off as they're being chased by drug dealers who want their drugs that were hidden in the truck. And then also being chased by Harry Dean Stanton. And also, Sweetie Pie has no idea how to drive a goddamn truck.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then Flatbed Annie is got the hots for this one like dishwasher guy.
He was so ugly when she showed that picture that was in her satchel. It looked. They could have got a more handsome man. Because Annie bought, and this is something I didn't realize that Tim and I had in common when we were talking about this movie. That we were both, you know, I don't know, at a young age, but we both thought Annie Potts was adorable, was really pretty.
She's skinny, she's got fair skin, she doesn't have any real blemishes. She's just aggressively average.
Really? She was always my favorite on Designing Women. I thought she was
I never
cute.
Watched Designing Women, I'm sorry.
Well, that's something I shouldn't have admitted.
Yeah,
right
now.
That's the name of my truck is Designing Women. Get Delta Burke painted on the side.
You watching that and you're all cha-cha-cha?
Here comes the Delta Burke Express going through.
That's a wide load right there.
Yes, that's right. I can hold a lot of loads in the Delta Burke Express.
That's your rig.
The Delta Burke Express.
Yeah, we only haul bacon.
Donuts. That horn is killing me.
So simple. Anytime we mention a truck name, I'm just gonna play it. So,
they try to have that side story to make a flatbed seem more. That's the thing. It's like a classic odd couple like story. One was like rough around the edges. The other one was naive and cute. And it's like throughout the movie, they're both kind of like melded,
And one thing that I took offense to, because Flatbed Annie hates the German people. There was so many anti-German comments. Like, she called him a Jerry lover. She called him a Nazi lover. She called his wife a Kraut.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah. But yeah, so she's planning on stopping and seeing, and because he runs a diner or something, right? So her sweetie.
Yeah, he's like a dishwasher or something. I don't know what the hell he was, but like they resolved that quick. She finally got, like, quote-unquote enough confidence. She dressed up like a woman, and all of a sudden she's super hot. And then, like...
By the way, did you see that awful tattoo placement, too? She had, like, a weird heart, like, at the top of her shoulder.
Yeah.
That, like, when Flatbed Annie, like... I was wondering if it was that guy's name.
I don't know. Flatbed and Annie...
You guys want a little anti-German racism?
Sure, yeah, why not? Being of German descent, I'd welcome it.
Here it comes. A little bit of pretext here.
Go on. We're partners, ain't we? What's his name? Carry in mind, sweetheart.
Those aren't my horns.
Up the brick.
Jamming up the road.
Of course it's a traffic jam. The Burke's got her fat ass in the road.
Nah, you're just a punk kid. Pumping gas at the station on the 93 strip. Come on, buddy, I mean, you move your tail.
I'm sorry, I'm driving as fast as I can.
There you go.
Sounds like there was something. Right time, right place. Person could fall in love with a bitch, buddy. You know what I mean? Get along, buddy, and I'm coming after you.
There's a lot more pretext here than I thought.
So come on, tell me the end of the story.
With your fake southern accent.
Hey, Jim.
There you go.
Man. Where's Dolly Parton when we need her? Oh, 925. That is a fake southern ass accent. That is nowhere. She grew up in New York. That is some weak sauce with her accent there.
Yeah, it's weird because it just shows up every once in a while where it's she almost forgets that she's supposed to have this, like, this drawl. Yeah. Then all of a sudden she's like, oh yeah, I gotta have my drawl.
Yeah. I have my wisdom teeth pulled, and now the drugs are kicking in.
I had my wisdom teeth pulled, and now I'm ready for a load.
Wait a minute,
that's awesome.
Oh, man.
So we've got the fight that's broke out.
I love the bad guy's van, by the way. That's total A-team. I love that. That's my jam. I would love to check out a van like the bad guys, the drug guys had in this movie.
And then they switch to a bandit
truck. Yeah, like a Trans Am, too. Just to further endear themselves to me directly. It's like... Man, Harry Dean Stanton was cool. The drug dealers are cool. I really hate the main people in this movie. They're kind of lame. Yeah.
Well, I like the one truck driver at the end when the truck drivers that are helping, there's one of them that show him in the cab, and he's got this giant beard, and he's got those weird yellow and black sunglasses.
Oh,
and yeah, I was just cool. Like, that is the sweetest look. I'm like, that's what I
love it.
I need to rock that look. I mean, of course, I would. No one would ever talk to me again. But who cares? I would just.
Well, let's get to that, right? So the basically in the middle of this movie is just a bunch of people chasing them. You know, they hook up. They take a load of oranges, and a bunch of other.
Oh, they lemons or oranges? They're oranges, right?
Yeah.
They look like lemons when they came rolling down the hill.
Yeah. So they hook up with a group of people doing that. You know, Sweetie Pie begins to learn, obviously. We talked about Flatbed, you know, getting all, like, feminine-like, and, you know, everything's good. And then, like, the Jugger guys show back up in a different car and start chasing him. And then Harry Dean Stanton, like, ends up, his sweet-ass ride, like, gets in a crash and he can't drive it or something happens. So he pays a bunch of Mexicans to take him around.
Right. They just find these lowrider guys. And the other thing is, too, it's like, I don't remember the sparks. Like, they had something that was grinding so that they would, when they would low ride, like, there would be sparks. But when they're chasing them, like, on the highway, and then, like, they'd have turned it around and go back the other way, I'm like, did they just kind of drive, like, with sparks the whole time? And isn't – it just seemed kind of like it would – like, wouldn't that piece wear out after a while?
I have no idea. But it's total tricked out. So, like, they follow the trucks and all this other stuff. And then – out of the blue, another super special guest shows up. And that is Rory Calhoun, who, like, does his part in help diverting C.W. Douglas and the newly found Latino friends, like, off the scent. Like, because they talked, Rory was there just in the middle of this road, just like hanging out, right, doing stuff, and yeah. Like the Flatbed Annie and whatnot show up, and they talk a little bit, and he's like, "You're cool, whatever." And it's this big undertone about, you know, sticking it to the man, you know, getting away with everything. So he lets him go, and then C.W. Douglas shows up with his guys, and he's like, "No, they went the other way," and he's all like, "Yeah, that's right." And then that was it, and that was an awesome cameo because Roy Calhoun is in one of my favorite horror movies of all time. And it still wasn't his, like, main, career. I think he was a musician first. But Roy Calhoun was in a movie called Motel Hell, which was amazing. Motel Hell, just a quick capsule. We may do this as a future, but I doubt it. Maybe. I don't know. But basically, him and his wife lure people into their beef jerky shop on the side of a state highway, and then they capture them, and then they plant them in the ground, and then they use people as the beef jerky, and there is an epic fight scene at the end of this fucking movie. In fact, we might have to do it just for the epic fight scene at the end of the movie. It rivals that, like, fight scene. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, so Roy Calhoun is in that, but he was an actor, and he used to be a truck driver, which is why he was in this movie. But he's also a lumberjack, and I guess a cow puncher, which I have no idea what the hell that is.
Man, I love guys. We don't have enough dudes like that anymore. Or what is the equivalent in movies today of a guy who's like, you know, he's like, oh, he used to be a truck driver, and he used to be a bouncer. Oh, and he was a longshoreman. We don't have any of those guys. All we have is, like, wieners like that. Well, I went to Juilliard, or I went to, you know, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Is there any actor nowadays that we have that's a macho dude like that? Besides, like, a Chuck Zito, like, which is kind of, you know what I mean? You know who Chuck Zito is, right? The guy who was, like, in Oz in some of those movies. He was, like, a real badass, like a Hell's Angels guy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Not like the Sons of Anarchy guy, Thor.
No, that guy's he's English, and he's a wiener. He's a classically trained. The guy who played Jax is not a real – none of the people in that movie are really, like – or that show. I mean, but could you think of any – I mean, like, to me, like, Dennis Hopper and, like, Harry Dean Stanton, guys like that, and I know Tim probably is tired of me. Always, I call him in the middle of the night just to talk about this.
Kind of
yeah, there is it.
Danny Trejo.
Yeah, that's
a
good one.
Really good one, actually. Steven Seagal.
Which I just actually...
Well, obviously he wasn't classically trained for jack shit if you've ever seen his movies.
By the way, did you remember, like, there was a weird, like, human kidnapping charge on Steven Seagal recently? I never heard what happened with that. Where he supposed...
I was going to say he stole away my childhood, but that seems very creepy.
Were you that little boy that he kidnapped? But no, Danny Trejo, that is perfect. I mean, because there's a documentary that you can get through Netflix about him that's just outstanding. And actually, it's funny because I just was on the Breaking Bad episode I just finished earlier this evening that he was in.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, but...
So Harity and Stanton is plotting and scheming, and then the girls, I think they pick up the girls. The girls, they don't drop off. They picked up the load from another super special guy, which I think, Tim, now that you have the video, you can kind of help me corroborate. But I think they picked up the stuff from a guy who looks exactly like the guy that was in the Ugliest Woman joke from Can I Do It Until I Need Glasses.
That's the guy they picked up the oranges from, so let me just...
You know what his name is?
I tried to find the credits, and I couldn't find the credits on IMDb for Fly By Danny. But I swear, I don't even know if he got credit.
But he's one of those guys who he looks like... When I saw him in that movie and then in Fly By Danny, you go, oh, he's in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
You can almost... I mean, he just, and you could tell too when he answered the phone that he was almost, he really wanted to go into shtick.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he was
he's
kind of
like I have to go into a joke.
Yeah, he kind of went, kind of made like a funny face. Like he just couldn't deliver his lines just like as a regular dude. But yeah, what that guy, I just seem to think that we watched a lot of TV movies all of a sudden. Like if we sat down and watched 10 made for TV movies from this era, he would be in 4 or 5 probably.
So that's the other guy. I think we still have our chain of Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses characters rolling.
That chain's gonna have some rare out at some point.
Yeah.
Let's hope not.
Well, because then I'll need glasses.
I cannot get that scene. It's in here. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So.
Find the orange scene.
Yeah, so while that, well, Tim's doing that, right? So, Harry Dean Stanton, like, plays harmonica. He hires some people to, like, block the road because he believes he found the one, like, way through or whatever. And
which was pretty genius, his plan.
Yeah, it was.
Putting up the sign, you know, trucks have to come through this way. And then Sweetie Pie loses her mind and basically decides to do like a kamikaze mission to, you know, because no one's taking my truck thing, that whole weird thing.
She was going to film and Louise him. Just drive right
here. Yeah, she's like, fuck it.
Yeah.
And then.
I wrote that actually in my notes. I'm like, hey, film and Louise ripped this movie off.
So lo and behold, like, what happens? Like, doesn't some guy break? Like, he moves his truck out of the way at the last second or something?
One of the guys
that Harry Dean Stanton hired basically just kind of, like, decides, like, to move. Basically, they were playing chicken.
Yeah.
And so then they drive off into the sunset. And then Harry Dean Stanton,
cool as
to
he
further
is.
Prove.
Yeah.
As he is, makes an amazing crack shot against across a ravine.
And what are you, one of those?
Right across the ravine.
Are you, those English classically trained wiener actors all of a sudden?
Yeah. I say, across the ravine, I want to make a shot.
God.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
The limey fucking bastard.
But then it stops the truck. So you think they're going to get away, and then you're like,
yeah,
Dean's going to win.
Because he
pops
the tire. It's like, boom.
Yeah. And then they had the ridiculous thing where she says, how long does it take to change a tire on one of these? And she says, and then she's like, well, not enough time. It's like, I guess maybe I mean, but if you blow a tire on an 18-wheel, you're pretty much done.
Yeah.
There's no putting it up on the jacks and everything. Like, somebody has to come out and you tow it, right?
You can't get one of those ridiculous little donut wheels, temporary thing, you can drive it against a gas station with.
That would be amazing, though, if you just had, like, a donut, a giant version of the donut for an 18-wheeler, and it says on it, do not exceed 45 miles an hour.
I would start a business just to produce that, just to see that on the road. I would take a loan out of the bank for that one.
I couldn't tell if that was the sheepish expression or the Delta Burke expression.
No, that's the night putter ramming through.
The what?
Night putter ramming through.
Night putter.
Right. Night Rider doesn't know where he's shooting, but he knows he's hitting something. So, anyway, at the last second, the other truckers decide to rally around, because that's like the ultimate climax of this movie. Was it was like, let's rally around and lose all our money and our potential livelihoods for helping out the other truckers.
I know! That's what I wrote it for, too. It's just like, let's save the day. Of course, now we're all fucked, and now we're all going to be three payments behind on our trucks, because we just...
We've all been encircled by C.W. Douglas.
Well, and somebody wrote on the IMDb page, and it's so amazing when you see these reviews that people write, and they're not tongue-in-cheek or funny at all. And the guy's talking about the movie, like, well, it's not that good of a movie, and you know this. And he's like, but the end is really nice because it shows, like, the camaraderie between truckers, and it really establishes it really well. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Someone seriously
wrote that?
Yeah. The guy who wrote the screenplay, there probably wasn't a screenplay for it. Oh, man. But yeah, so they drop from the big hilltop, they drop a whole bunch of oranges that look like lemons on Harry Dean. And
What happened then?
Well, no, because like their wheel's still screwed. So did they suddenly, like, did they put the donut on it then when Harry Dean was covered in pulp and couldn't move?
I'm going to say the truckers changed their tire and then they went about their collection business. So.
Yes, and then they had to think, we kind of glossed over real quickly, but Annie does confront the love of her life who's been divorced, and she tells them basically to stick it, so it's this empowering woman. Moment.
Guy.
Yeah. A guy with a dirty T-shirt.
Yeah,
so she wins. And she becomes a lady in the process with a doll.
All brought to you by Mack Trucks Incorporated.
All right, fine. After much to do, this happened much later in the movie than I thought.
Did you guys enjoy it?
I was wondering why I got 3.5 stars on Netflix, actually.
I get my attention.
I mean, Harry Dean stole the whole show. I mean, the girls were annoying. The goons were palpable, to say the best. Harry Dean, HDS was the shit in this movie. I enjoyed him thoroughly. Everything he did, he had fun doing it. He looked like he was genuinely having fun making this movie.
I don't know if it's that guy.
It's a close call. It's a fat guy with a mustache.
He could be his cousin, but I don't think it's that guy.
Fair enough.
Oh, really? Damn
his
it.
His eyes aren't big enough. Wait a minute.
It's tough, right?
We need to put the interns on it.
Good call.
Yeah, put somebody on this.
We need to get the interns on that research, Tim.
I'll put the interns on it.
You got to put Dave on that.
Dave will do the best job.
There's no way he's backing out of that one.
Whatever you do, don't put Kelly on it. He won't do it. He's. There goes Dave.
Hey, come back with that truck, Dave.
He's in the intern Honda.
The intern Honda Express. You know what? Right. They have really good egg rolls. Dude, the intern Honda Express, man. The cool thing about their crab rangoon is that there's no real crab in it. It's really just a cream cheese rangoon. And I'm allergic to shellfish, man. So it's like perfect. I get the taste of a crab rangoon without getting my lungs like swollen up. It's amazing. Thank you, Intern Honda Express.
I didn't know that you were allergic to shellfish.
Yeah, I am. It's shrimp, and it's cool when you find out as a kid because my dad loves eating. My dad loves peeling cold shrimp. So just get a big old metal like bowl with ice, a bed of ice, and then shrimp on top. And they're like, here, have some. I'm like, okay. And I eat it, and for, like, months, like, every time he did that, I'd be like, my throat's all tickly.
Oh,
so it's like, I'm going to stop eating this now because I don't like the way I feel. And then later on, like, 5 years later, that meant I was allergic to it. So, thanks for being on top of that one, Dad.
I'm actually pretty lucky that I'm not – there's nothing I'm really allergic to like that.
I'm allergic to that and, like – you know, pet hair, dander. Like, the dander that they bring in is killer for me.
Like cats and dogs?
Yeah, if they've been outside for any amount of time, like, and there's plenty of hair, like, floating around, it'll all get up, I'll fucking water up and sneeze and everything. It's, we are in a tight regimen of brushing the dog's hair and vacuuming at least once a week here, and it's perfect.
Oh, that's right, you guys have a doggy, that's right.
Yeah, no, well, and it's just, you know, keeping all the hair cleaned up, you know, so it doesn't get messed around. It's just like anything, allergies, right? Like, you know, if you're allergic to, like, if things get too dusty, you're going to sneeze and get allergic a lot more because of the particles and stuff like that. So, you know, just keep the shit clean, you know? Keep it Harry Dean Stanton and you're good to go.
See, you guys are both Harry Dean Stantons. You both have dogs and are cool. I am a weird cat person. My cat is actually licking his paws right next to me right now. So I'm the English actor from Sons of Anarchy, and you guys are HD.
You don't have any tiny little boots on them, do you?
No, but I, you know what? I do have a thing I can put my creamer in that someone gave me at work. It's a bust of a bikini-clad woman someone gave me as a joke. So I could start putting my creamer for my coffee in, or my Stoke.
Truckers need to use Stoke because it's not illegal. Stoke, of course, that's STOK, is basically liquid caffeine and little creamer that I've only found in 7-Elevens, by the way. I haven't found them anywhere else.
I get them, and 7-Eleven runs out of them sometimes.
Yeah,
but like,
people
I have,
like me will get them by the handfuls.
Yeah, I took like three of them today. I did take, I only do one a day though. I get scared. I did do two once a day.
Oh, I don't do it anymore. Not to, after I left the road, I don't do those anymore.
Yeah. Well, and there is trucker speed in this. Annie Potts does, Annie does take a pill at one point, which I forgot that she did that with.
But yeah, she is cool.
Yeah,
you know, Harry Dean Stanton was the coolest, and I think that's why I think everybody should watch it just for like Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, it's the scene when his car is being towed and he's playing. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but one of his great joys in life is that he loves old Mexican folk songs and he's fluent in Spanish, so he can sing them and play his guitar. And I like the guy. He's just one of those last really cool guys.
Well,
like that. You know, Dennis Hopper was that
you
way
know,
thing
and
too. Except, and we lost this.
Yeah, Lou Reed died earlier this week, and I was thinking the musicianship that Harry Dean Stanton had and the way he looks. If there's ever to be a biography in Lou Reed, I think Harry Dean should be up for the part. I mean, he looks, he's got the black, I mean, he just got to cut the hair short, curl it up a little bit, and put on a black leather jacket, and he's good to go. I mean, get those black Ray-Bans on his face, and then that's fucking Lou Reed, dude.
Well, it's to me, like, Lou Reed was, like, I mean, I don't know if you ever saw, like, the weird, like, Rock and Roll Animal, like, when he was doing the, like, shaving his eyebrows and cheetah printing his hair. He went through a lot of really weird phases, but this is probably going to sound like I'm kind of like full of shit, but like I'd been listening to a lot of Velvet Underground like just recently again. I kind of go through my phases, and I just listened to it like in, you look at the years, like 1967 or 1969, and you're just thinking about like how did this exist in 1969, something like the Velvet Underground. It's just bizarre. I mean, he was just so...
Yeah, I mean, all that was going on in New York while flower power was exploding everywhere else. It was kind of amazing how, like, this is like the opposite of flower power, and it stood the test of time.
Yeah, I love the Velvet Underground and Nico record. It's like, I mean, she's an awful singer, but she's amazing. And, you know, how flat and weird and German she sounds.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, there's something like just so, I mean, I don't know. But yeah, I was kind of sad when I heard the movie. You know, it wasn't like, you know, oh, boo hoo. But it's like, yeah, it's a bummer, you know, because, and I think we were talking about this before. Like, I didn't know that he was married to Laurie Anderson. Which is, it's interesting because, like, one of the pictures they showed of Lou Reed, it was him and Laurie Anderson sitting in this cafe. Like, this is, like, in May. And it's just so weird when you think about these people that were so cutting edge and, like, so strange and, like, Lou Reed and all those weird things. And now he's just, like, he's hanging out with his wife and they're, you know, probably going to go home and watch the news and take a nap after brunch, you know. So we all get old and uncool, I guess.
On a musical note, how about the little of this?
And he just looks so cool too. And there's the thing of cookies on the dashboard. I just
and it goes, those are Pecan Sandy's, I think.
Oh, just like I know a good Pecan Sandy when I see one. But you know what? But when Harry Dean Stanton dies, I will probably really be sad. I will be legitimately like, oh, well, there aren't any good ones anymore.
They're all dead. They rode that great big Delta Burke Express to the sky.
Rode the sheepish express right into the grave, the great unknown.
I don't know. What's your 20? Dead. What's your 20? I'm 6 feet under.
Oh, man. By the way, when I was looking up some of the research for trucker slang, there was a huge section on different cities, and I was hoping that they were going to have one for Wichita and one for Austin, but I couldn't find it. But of all places, I did find one for Liberal, Kansas.
Oh, wow.
And
that's a huge,
what the truckers,
that's a huge trucker area, though.
Guess what the truckers call Liberal, Kansas, though?
Like, I don't know. Conservative Kansas.
Pancake City.
Pancake City.
That's because of the pancake race that they do against the city in England every year. My dad had to cover that for like a million years. They do this thing where you have to flip a pancake and run a certain amount and back. And there's a town in England that they race at the same time. And it's a big tradition. So the truckers call it Pancake City. And then there's Massachusetts. and then for Manteuque, Michigan, it's Man You Stink.
This sounds like something my dad would do on a daily basis. It's just turn the words around like that.
I'm pretty sure that.
You're pretty sure what?
My dad is writing the trucker book on changing towns' names because it's right in his wheelhouse.
Oh, he is.
Well, then then you know what they call where I live, the San Francisco Bay Area?
Oh, boy.
They call it Gay Bay.
Really?
I mean, yeah, all right.
It could be worse. That was that's so clear.
It could be Dubuque, which that's Dubuque, and they call it Dubuque. And then Dodge City, where I'm from, they call Cowtown, and then Las Cruces is the Big Stink. But Barf City is my favorite. That is Providence, Rhode Island. They call it Barf City for some reason.
Barf City.
I don't know why it is Barf City. And then you want to hear a couple terms, like for the truckers?
Yeah.
You know what a 10-200 is?
Delta Burke. That's a dumb. Right?
You're right. It's taking a bathroom break, especially on the side of the road, okay. Referencing the use of showing two fingers to denote the need to have a bowel movement.
Wow.
And then you've got an African violet.
Oh, what's that?
Which is an African-American truck stop prostitute.
Wow.
Oh.
Do you know an Alice in Wonderland?
I don't know. Do I need to close my eyes?
Someone who is lost or seeking direction.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
That's a relatively clean one.
That's
and here's a good one. You know what choke and puke?
What's that?
Choke and puke is a bad truck stop diner. Food's not good.
Choke and puke. I guess it's better than stop and go.
That's true. And this is what's been interesting because they updated it too. Like Wikipedia thing has been updated. So there's one called a four-wheel phone booth.
What's that?
That is someone who is talking while they're on their cell phone.
Oh.
There you go. And then there's a filthy Freddy or a double F, which is an overweight, long-haul truck driver or other misprint of society that goes weeks or even months without bathing. This is the male counterpart of the hungry heifer.
The hungry heifer.
It's also the name of the restaurant in Cheers that Norm went to. And then Lot Lizard, you guys know that one, right?
Yeah, that's right.
But this is one of my favorite terms. My balls are sagging, which means that parts are falling off the truck. And then it comes to Delta Bird Express, Delta Bird. And here's a phrase. I'll interpret this phrase. I had never heard of this, but they said that this is served at some truck stops and restaurants. It's called Suds and Mud, and it's beer. That's with coffee, and the coffee has cream or milk in it and a beer, and it's called Suds and Mud.
Oh. Hmm.
So we need to try that.
I'll try that. But we can't get too crafty or snooty where people were like, you know, I have to have like a curled mustache and wear flannel and then like, you know, talk about
drive a bike, no.
With fixies and fucking mix beer and tell us all about how mixing some fucking craft beer from Colorado with another beer from Florida is like much better than both originally intended by itself and all this other craft beer bullshit. I mean, I like craft beer, but I don't want to get to the point where I turn into a fucking douchebag over it.
My favorite craft beer is still to this day, and it makes me think of this movie and Smokey and the Bandit is just. I like the Coors and the gold can. It's the banquet beer. That's like something, like, that's all I want to drink. It was like, ooh, that's an IPA or should be. I'm like, no, I want a Coors banquet beer. So I would think that Coors banquet beer would go well with coffee with cream.
I like living the high life myself.
Ooh, yeah, high life too. That would go well. The champagne beer.
Well, I mean, actually, an ice cold Bud Light from the draft is always really good. I've always really enjoyed that, which is the only way I can have Bud Light. But like, there's a Michelob Gold up north is also pretty good. If you ever find yourself around Chicago, Minnesota area, or like in parts of Iowa, Michelob has Michelob Golden, which is a but it's not too like small special crafty stuff, you know, and you don't have to worry about paying outrageous prices for it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I guess we're more truckers than we buy.
Maybe we're closer. We're closer to the truckers than we are other things.
So my vet Andy and Sweetie Pie, Lady Truckers. I would say it's a watchable movie. I don't think it's 2 hours, I think.
It's a minute. It's 1:30. It's not bad.
It's fine. And Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah, it's Harry all Dean Harry Dean Stanton. It really is.
Oh Lord. Let's see if we got any. You know, I was trying to decide if there was some music that we should use for this movie.
Little Brother Trucker?
Closing. But we could use Little Brother Trucker. If you want to, we could do a hybrid mix of Little Brother Trucker, or we could use a little bit of, you know.
Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking.
We don't have to. Smoking the Bandit, but it's the best trucker movie ever.
Yeah, that is the best trucker movie ever.
But we could do a little bit of Little Brother
so
Trucker.
So, what is Little Brother Trucker, you ask?
We didn't cover this on air.
When I was a kid, I hung out with some awesome people, like Tim included, and John, I didn't meet you until college, so, you know, we didn't cross paths until then, but, like, one of our friends, Andy, found a cassette tape, and, you know, this kind of ties everything Gonzo together, like, nicely, because, like, the kind of movies that we find, we'll find at truck stops, like, for a dollar, and you buy it, and it's like, and it's just absolutely just terrible, but it's like a dollar, and truckers watch that on the road, and there's music like that too, right? So, like, there's, you know, CDs now that you can still buy there, you know, all that other fun stuff, but, you know, back in the day, you know, when I was a little one, when I was a little night putter, there used to be, like, cassettes, and, you know, it'd be your standard fare, right? It'd be, like, country music, pretty much. Maybe some 80s hair metal bands, too. But you'd get them really cheap, and they'd be on these little spindles, these little roundabouts that you turn and shop through and whatever. Well, Andy had found this one tape that apparently was the comedy section of the truck stop record store section. so he found it and he played it well, and then he's like, here, you gotta listen to this. This is awesome. It's basically it's Little Brother Chugger, and it is a it's like half compilation, half skits of like trucker themed comedy and music. And it is some of the most, racist, misogynist, trucker speak that you would ever hear in your life. Man, it is just, it's almost like, actually, it's almost a lot like the guy who was in Dirty Country, which, I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but there's this one guy, who the found footage guys did a with the help of like some other guy, like did a documentary on, or talked about like this one guy who was just a factory worker in a small town, like ended up just writing a bunch of dirty songs, and he got enough play to where he would make more, and he got popular. He was like the rock star among truckers because they're just
no. Tim and I have a long history of Dirty Larry.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie, and Tim has burned me some of his music.
So it also gave us, and this is why, you know, Dirty Country, check it out, gave us an insight on the trucker CD industry, where it's just like, you know, he called him up one day, he's like, yeah, we need about 10 more dirty songs. And then he would just go do it and then send it to him. And then they just mass produced this. Well, Andy had gotten this one called Little Brother Trucker. And it's pretty much the same story, except there's like skits and stuff like that, where it's like the fake news ticker that would tick along and then be like, you know, just completely racist, like news items or something, you know, some lot lizard doing something like that or whatever. And it was just raunchy as hell. And being a 13... being in almost high school, being in high school and getting your hands on that was like getting your hands on gold. So, you know, we listened to hell out of stuff like that. And the one thing that always got me was the Little Brother Trucker song, which
I bet you haven't.
I do have it. I'll cue this guy up a little bit. You want to sound that horn for me there, Tim?
Alright, we'll fire Little Brother Trucker.
Where narrow Arcadian says the only thing his wife puts out at night is the cap.
Yeah, here's the news item.
A big R driver, his favorite fantasy is making it with his own wife with jumper cables from her to the garden. The There's Pam who tells that when he was a boy, his mother told his father that he had been abusing himself. Ooh. He said he didn't feel abused. Actually, he felt relaxed and relieved. The Peter Man says there are worse things than living in sin. Living in Detroit is one.
Wow.
He also said it's true that Loud prayer to see if he had any messages. Big Brother Trucker now proposes about his little brother. Little Brother Trucker.
Oh, here we go.
It's a little choppy.
Little Brother Trucker is a mean motherfucker and he don't take a shit. Him and that came our entire island stand about 10'6". Kicked a lot of tires, kicked a lot of ass, put a lot of miles on the road. Little brother trucker ain't never been with, so the story goes. Late one night on 75, he had to take a hit. He rolled his dick in a pickle heart, and the story goes like this. Done from the cab, someone made a grab back between his knees. Trying to rip the riches from the crotch of his bridges was a big old freeway queen.
And we'll stop it at that. We'll play out a better version of it on out, but it's like that kind of country music, which actually would be 10 times cooler if Harry Dean Stanton would be playing it. I think it would be.
It wouldn't be as aggressive sounding. It's like that sounds kind of foreboding. That guy's like,
it's like he's coming.
Harry Dean Stanton would be like, hey, it would be a whole different vibe. It was just kind of, yeah, he's a mean motherfucker.
Excuse me, I kissed the sky. Whoa, Harry.
So we should probably wrap it up. So I guess we should announce, I think with scheduling and everything, I think we're going to get a Halloween one in. I'm going to stay up tonight and watch the Tim's pick. And so... Tim, take it away. I guess you should announce the second Halloween special.
Yeah, it may not appear until after Halloween, but we can maybe knock that. And well, it'll be two coming shortly, so it may be out after. If it's out after Halloween, it's Gonzoween. Just deal with it.
I like to think every day of the year is Gonzoween, so
we are not the whole day of calendars.
I told Tim the other day, I'm like, so are we doing a Simpsons House of Horror where we show it like in November or like in September? Because, you know, like, cause sometimes it's the World Series and everything that they have to switch up to. So Halloween, Gonzoween can be whatever we feel like it.
Of course.
Yep. That's correct. But I would say there's going to be this, if you're listening to this one, there will be a second one in short order. So.
Yes.
And I will have to repost this stuff because I got held up on a certain topic. But there is a giveaway that I'm making. And I will put more info on the Twitter and the Facebook.
By the way, have we had any contestants on our giveaway yet?
I haven't actually formed the giveaway question.
So stay tuned for that. Okay. That's coming.
So all of you fans... out there.
So Rod, we're talking to you.
And if you know,
so Rod, if you remember correctly,
if you do get the answer right, Tim himself will deliver a hot lube via the Sheepish Express.
You hear that noise? You won.
And really, we all win.
Yes. Yeah.
Watch for the challenge / question on the on our boards there. Well, I guess Rod.
and hopefully soon we'll have more stuff like for the blog and you know, just kind of be a little more up to date on stuff and hopefully we'll get some more people on board. I think there's a few people. I know Terry listens. We have Rod. But like I said, it sounds like Rod is probably the guy who listens the most, and so eventually that means that we're bigger fans of Rod than he is of the show. So we'll be bothering him probably a whole lot.
It's turning into a Tenacious D episode.
Right, exactly. Like the swimming buck naked in the Sea of Lee is like, which is my, I love that episode when they start stalking their fans. So look out, Rod.
We'll
come over
soon.
All right, we're gonna go on that note. Stay tuned to all that other stuff. Lots of quizzes and prizes and stuff. It's gonna be sweet. So to Gonzo Guys at Twitter, Gonzo Guys at Facebook, all one word. In the meantime, we're gonna be out on the road. making sure deliveries. After Flatbed Annie and Sweetie Pie dumped all those oranges and talked all those other people into, the schedules are behind, so we got to go catch up with them. So Tim.
Well, and I'm actually going to be behind on my payments intentionally so I can hang out with Harry Dean's fans.
Yes. So Tim, you want to fire on that horn and drive us on out of here?
I got to start it up here real quick. I lost the gas. Give me a second. Here we go. It's coming.
Ah, yes.
Just a minute here. Once I get on the road, I'll blast the horns.
Good old air brakes. Alright, see you guys later. Remember, don't fast forward.
Don't fast forward.
Little brother Trucker is a mean motherfucker and he don't take no shit. Him and that Kmart tire iron stand about 10'6". He kicked a lot of tires, kicked a lot of ass, put a lot of miles on the road. Little brother Trucker ain't never been whipped, so the story goes. Late one night on 75, he had to take a piss. He rolled his rig in a pickle park, and the story goes like this. Climbing down from the cab, someone made a grab right between his knees. Trying to rip the riches from the crotch of his britches was a big old freeway queen. Little brother Trucker is a mean motherfucker, and he don't take no shit. But the queen had a hold of the family gold and wouldn't let go of it. The big queen said, I'm gonna give you head and you better not struggle or fight. Or I'll bend you over, pull you up like Rover, and we'll be here all night. Little brother Trucker is a mean motherfucker and he don't take no shit. Grabbed the queen by the nuts, put a boot in his guts, and gave a great big rip. The queen let go, and brother kicked him low, laid that bar in his head. When I left the scene, that freeway queen looked almost dead. Little brother Trucker is a mean motherfucker, and he don't take no shit. Him and that Kmart tire iron stand about 10'6". He kicked a lot of tires, kicked a lot of ass, put a lot of miles on the road. Little brother Trucker ain't never been whipped, so the story goes. Little brother Trucker is a mean motherfucker and he don't take no shit. Him and that Kmart tire iron stand about 10'6".